Was a funky Yay! Griller. You're welcome to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're back. Brian just throwing down some good bumper music. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, that's our producer, Brian Fongers, who's a man of many talents, but I don't think he can sing as well as you.
No, you know what? I'm probably think he can. It's easy for me to slur. But
so early, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope we didn't bore you too much with the gas technical talk, but you know, I just feel like I've been in the gas stuff so long, it's easy for me, and I tend to think everybody can just do these things, but then my wife reminds me of how a lot of other people look at things, because she'll ask me a rudimentary question, and it's like, okay, I forgot.
She did tell me you had gas for a long time.
I have. So the gas stuff, I think we covered most of that.
Yeah, charcoal, before we talk to Mark,
charcoal,
right?
And grills.
So you want to dive back into that?
Yeah, charcoal and grill,
pellet grills.
Wood smokers are another vein that you probably used, if it's a smoker, you probably used it all winter, because that's almost the best time to smoke if you've got a good smoker. But a charcoal grill you might have shied away from just because you're lazy and you're afraid to go out in the cold and you didn't have your man card on you or something like that. So you might have had that stowed, or you might have had it under the cover on the deck and just didn't feel like babysitting the burgeoning fire. But so the thing on charcoal grills, and most people have a Weber kettle if they have one. When I work out in Sacramento, I meet people all the time that have three kettles. It's very common in Northern California to have three kettles on your deck.
Different sizes?
I don't know. They're generally the exact same one, and they just love them, and they do everything. A lot of tri-tips, and they do all that stuff on them. But so the Weber kettle's got to be your biggest charcoal grill out there.
What is the tip there?
So what they don't do is they don't take the ash out of it, and then you get some winter moisture and whatnot, and it collects with that ash. And there's acid in that, right?
Right.
So it tends to eat out the pan, and you might have like a hole ready to happen on the bottom of your kettle.
Right.
And if you don't have deck protection down, or even if you have minimal deck protection, you might be seeing some little red things dropping. And if it's during the day, you might not notice them. At night, they're a little more obvious. But you don't want to burn your house down because you were too cheap to get a new grill or put proper grill protection down on your deck.
Yeah, and if that hole happens, here's the other thing, is now that thing's sucking a lot of air because it doesn't have a damper on it. It's going to draw air through there. Your flame's going to get hotter, and the chances of that thing dropping a hot ember is even better now because, one, there's a hole, and two, it's getting a lot of air, so it's going to get hotter quicker.
Yeah, yeah. So like what I had, this fabricator dude made me this really nice big pan for my portable deep fryer because he saw me dump grease all over my driveway one day. And so he just comes up a couple days later with this giant piece of steel plating with little bent up edges. I use it under my Cajun grill now.
Right.
Because it's just it's too nice not to use. And it does great protection. It's galvanized. It won't rust.
Right.
And lets the water drain out the corners. And it's just a fantastic way to fireproof my deck, which is a good idea because it's connected to my house.
Right. So if you pulled your charcoal grill out and there's a caked on layer of gunk on the bottom of it where that ash has drawn moisture and it's turned into this paste. Scrape it out of there. Use an old spatula. It's probably the easiest thing to do. One that's a little flexible, and you just scrape that stuff down, pull it out of there, and then let it dry, right, before you start to cook on it again, because there'll be some residual moisture down there.
But you can actually, and if you see that it's corroding and rusty, you can actually put a couple layers of foil down. It'll make your next clean out much easier.
Yeah.
So,
good tip.
So that's another way to prolong the life and make cleaning up a little easier. The other thing you want to check on with a wood fired grill is just make sure that You've got your protections down, but that it's stable, you're in a good spot, you've got wind blockage, and that your grates are in good enough shape, it might be a time to order some new grates.
Right.
Or some grill grates. And we're going to have grill grates on the show next week, which will show you a new way to rebuild your grill very cheaply. But then the other part is pellet smokers. Now, you're getting to be quite the expert on pellet smokers.
Well, we'll use that term loosely.
So why don't you tell us what to check for?
Right. Well, in a pellet smoker, the pellets are augered into a little firebox, and there's a blower on there, right? And that combination of that air blowing on the pellet creates your heat. And there's a little rheostat on most of those where you dial it up. You get more air, you get more chips, you get hotter fires, right? Well, what happens is that blower blows that ash down in the belly of the pellet grill.
The beast.
So you get a little accumulation of this really fine ash that's down there. And again, it'll draw moisture. It'll cause corrosion. It's not much different than the charcoal grill, other than the fact that there are a couple moving parts in a pellet grill that aren't in a charcoal grill, and that is where those chips are augered into the firebox. There's usually a little shield, and that shield keeps the pellets, after they're lit, from sending fire back into the auger system. I put the grill back together after cleaning it, and I clean mine once every couple months. I'm kind of a freak about having my stuff clean, but I put it together twice wrong since I've had it. And it allowed that fire to go back through that auger, and it created a fire in my hopper, which holds all my pellets.
And in all fairness to you, the way these pellet grill manufacturers make that little basket, he's talking about pulling out a basket that's drilled with a bunch of holes. It's a perforated basket that holds your fresh pellets, and the fresh air and ignition comes up from underneath, and that's what keeps it combusting. And those holes also allow it to blow the spent ash out of the container. Well, the way they make these little baskets is you can hardly tell which end goes in towards that shield.
Right.
So it's very common to put the wrong end in which case you're actually sitting up in front of the auger tube, so you're blocking the tube a little bit, and it starts to back up, and you get a pile up of pellets burning right in that area where you don't want it.
Right.
And that fire just backs right up the tube, even though it's designed not to.
Right. And, you know, smokers are the beauty of a pellet smoker. Somebody asks, why would you have one? My first answer always is it's a set it and forget it thing, right? The auger and the temperature sensor, that'll keep the temperature the same. You can walk away. Well, I've done that, but when I put it together wrong, I walk away, that fire has come all the way back through that auger channel and up into my pellet box, and it's smoking. It's smoking like crazy, but not on the meat. I'm burning pellets at a hell of a clip, mm-hmm. You know, and it's a mess because you got to put water on it to put them out because they're red hot, and now you got to clean the whole thing. So just watch when you take it apart, put it back together the same way. Life will be good.
And don't put those pictures on Facebook again, okay, whatever you do. Those are some of the pitfalls of pellet smokers.
Sure.
You know, people think, oh, they're just going to get a pellet smoker and now they're a barbecue guy because it'll be easy. I can push a button and I don't have to think. No, you do have to think. This thing is a tricky little cantankerous contraption, and right. You want to make sure that you study it well, you understand the mechanics, and you're keeping it functioning properly because it can give you a little grief. I have gone in the other direction. You know, you remember back in the day when I was repping for a bunch of grill factories, and I had some pellet grill lines, one of those that you have mm-hmm. right now, until you win this one, which you're
right.
Probably
going to talk about that in a minute.
You're going to do. Yeah.
Meat Madness.
is one of those from that company. And I think personally, maybe because of some of the design flaws that one in particular had, I got a little turned off to pellet smokers, and mm-hmm. just the whole mechanical side of it, because I did so much charcoal, I found it easier to do charcoal, which kind of doesn't make sense, but it to me was a little more reliable because I didn't have to worry about the cord getting unplugged by somebody tripping over it. Or
moving parts,
the auger jamming, or running out of pellets because the hopper wasn't big, or whatever these things were. And so I've kind of backed down away from it. I'm glad you like them because somebody here needs to talk positively about pellet smokers.
Well, and you know, I get good results when I treat the piece of equipment with the respect it deserves. But anyway, coming up next, maybe you know, a little bit more of our tips, techniques, some protection, some side, base, and top of your grill. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
House. Well, put together, everybody knows. This is how the story goes. She knows she's